Well, good morning and welcome to our Saturday team call. This is Senior Master Coordinator Jennifer Glacken, and I'm going to be your moderator and host for today's call. I just want to give you a couple of reminders, and so you might want to get your pen and paper out just to jot down a couple of notes in case some of these things are of importance to you. The April event, the Underwoods have an event happening down in Florida, April 23rd and 24th, so it's a Friday and Saturday. As we know, events are extremely important for building your business, building your team, getting people exposed to the information that Shackley offers, and getting them exposed to the team and the positivity and the motivation and inspiration. So you want to make sure that you're at this event and that you get your folks to this event. You can find tickets at the ShackleyFloridaEvent.com. There's an Eventbrite. Everything's already set up. We've had a post or two over on the Team Glacken Facebook page, so you can always find it over there as well. We want to make sure that everybody gets a ticket if you, in fact, would like to go to that event, and we really encourage you to be there. It's going to be a fabulous, fabulous event. Talking about events, the Global Conference is going to be here before we know it. It will be here August 5th through the 8th is the dates of the event down in Orlando. And as I had mentioned last week, I will be purchasing a 10-pack and getting tickets at a lesser price. So we've got tickets in the 10-pack for $149 per ticket. Right now, if you order a ticket online, it's $199, so it's a $50 savings. We have 4 tickets left in this 10-pack that we're currently selling. And so as we continue to sell tickets, if folks want to if we get enough sold, we'll buy another 10-pack. So if you need a ticket, please, please, please let me know because they are going quickly and we want to make sure that everybody on the team who wants to attend will be there. Now, Team Up is in full swing, and I just want to just give a couple words of encouragement because we had some folks reach out who didn't get on a Team Up team. And for some of us who have Team Up teams, we've been holding calls and you know text message groups, et cetera, for our team. And if you did not get on a Team Up team, but you want to sort of pseudo-participate, you want the motivation, the inspiration, the encouragement, and a little bit of accountability around it, ask one of the teams if you can just listen in on the calls, if you can just share your numbers, if you can just be a part of a team. Obviously, your numbers wouldn't count because you didn't get signed up necessarily in time, but you can definitely participate. So I just wanted to encourage folks who maybe were feeling a little bit left out or feeling like, gosh, I didn't get on a team and I wanted to be on a team and I should have done it. We don't want to have anybody feeling bad about that. And so just talk to some folks and just see if you can participate and be on those calls for yourself for that motivation and inspiration. Now, something that I mentioned last week, and I've had a couple of phone calls with questions about it, I had mentioned that when we were at the Masters Growth Summit, the Underwoods, the Cashes, and myself, we had heard from Roger Barnett. Of course, he always does the State of the Union speech, and he also was there for all of the discussions. And one of the things that he mentioned was that the single largest investment that he and Shackley are making this year, the single largest investment, is the $20,000 in 2020. And so the will be earned by as many people as possible in the Shackley field. Now, when you think about the money that Roger has invested, you know, he's invested in our website, in our technology, he's investing in new products. And yet the single largest investment is in you. It's the money that you can earn. I just can't encourage you enough to get a strategy plan in place to make sure that you're capturing whatever amount of that $20,000 that you can earn and what to earn. Because think about an extra $20,000. What would that do for you and your family? If you got an extra $20,000, would that pay off some debt? Would that be a nice vacation? Would it be a new car? Would it be some college education for the kids? What would it be for you and your family? Think about that, dream about that, and then get an action plan in place to earn that money. That money is available. It's sitting there waiting for you. Roger's got it budgeted. It's just sitting there waiting. And so let's make sure that all of us on the team that want some of that money, that we capture it and we have a plan to do it. So please talk to your upline business partner about that if you don't have a plan already about doing that. Now, many of you know that I read a lot. I know we're in the middle of the book club, Why They Buy by Sherry Tree, and I would be remiss if I didn't remind everybody that on March the 4th, Wednesday, March the 4th, at 12:30 Eastern Time, Sherry will be our guest speaker on that book club. She'll be there for the entire book club discussion. She's going to be sharing a lot of great information. It won't necessarily be the normal book club discussion, but it'll be a chance to hear from the author of the book. She is a world-renowned speaker. Actually, the bank code technology was just launched in Dubai in front of 450,000 people yesterday and the day before. So it is phenomenal information, but to hear from the author and the person who's out there as the spokesperson and the head of this technology and this information, it would just be fantastic for you to be able to be on that call. It's one day, it's Wednesday, March the 4th. It's from 12:30 to 1:15 Eastern time, so do the translation for your time zone. But I encourage you to be there, get your team members there. Whether you've been reading the book, whether you're participating in the book club, it doesn't matter. Get there and hear the information. It's going to be one of those things that you'll really, if you don't get a chance to hear it, you'll really wish that you did. Now, as far as reading, I picked up the book Finish First, then the subtitle is Winning Changes Everything. It was by Scott Hamilton. And the foreword was by a gentleman named Donald Miller. And I'm actually going to read to you a little piece from the foreword because it really jumped out at me as so applicable to Shackley. So he says in here, he says, if you finish first, your friends may become jealous, your family might think you've gotten too big for your britches, and your competition might put a target on your back. So it's better not to compete. Better, that is, for your friends, your family, and your competition. But it's not better for you. The reality is that people are comfortable with you where you are. Your lack of success makes them feel safe and predictable because you serve as a point of reference for how much better their situation is than yours. Inside, you likely know if you start moving up, your sense of security in their ecosystem will be threatened. So you stay, but are you satisfied? So often when I'm doing coaching calls with folks on the team, one of the challenges they have is the personal growth piece that they have in this business, that they start to grow, they start to see the world differently, they start to have different dreams, they expand their vision, they expand who they are as a person, they start to speak on webinars and conference calls and the Shackley stage, they start to earn trips and cars and all sorts of success starts to happen. And their social circle sometimes is not as excited about that as they are. And so, you know, when you go out and you're new in your Shackley business and you make your first few phone calls and you call, you know, your best friends or you call your family members and they say, oh my gosh, you got into what? You're doing what? And the person, the new prospect gets concerned and, oh my gosh, my family doesn't like what I'm doing or they don't think this is a good idea. And some of that is exactly what was just shared here by Donald Miller. The fact that for a lot of folks, it's about the other person growing beyond them. And so I just want to encourage us as we're having our own personal growth and as we're out there sharing Shackley, we're having our conversations with people. A lot of times what's happening when we're talking to people is they're reflecting back to us their own fears, their own insecurities, their own piece of being unsure with what they're doing in their life. And sometimes they throw it back at us and it sounds like they know what they're talking about or that they know that Shackley isn't a good idea or this industry isn't a good idea. When in reality, they have no experience in our business model. They have no experience in Shackley. And so it's important to make sure that when we're taking advice from people, that we take advice from people who have done what we're trying to do. So that's why we encourage you all the time to go to your up team, to talk to your upline business partners, and to make sure that you're leaning on their resources and their knowledge and their experience, because obviously they've gone where you're trying to go. So some of your upline leadership, you know, they might be getting started just like you're getting started, but they've still probably been in a little bit longer than you. And they've got upline partners, and the whole team here is here to help you be successful. So when we're asking questions, when we have concerns, let's come within the organization and ask the people who've done what you're trying to do. And as I said, they want you to have success. Now, there are lots of people who have success in Shackley, and it always starts with having a strong dream, a strong why. We talk about that a lot on the team, and I'm actually going to read you a story of a Shackley person in just a moment here. But I just want us to step back for just one second and remember why we got excited about Shackley in the first place. If you go back to the first day that you heard about Shackley, what was it that drew you in? There had to be something about the picture that was shared, the opportunity, whether it was the income, the travel, the time freedom, maybe it was to help other people. I don't know what it was that drew you in specifically, but there was something that hit that hot button inside of you and lit that fire. We have to keep stoking that fire. We have to keep that fire alive. We can't expect anyone else to do that for us. there's no one else who's with us 24 hours a day. We're with ourselves, and we have to keep that fire stoked. So some of the ways that I do that is I do a lot of reading. You hear me talk about that a lot. You hear me share some of the things from books that I'm reading. Books for me open up a whole world of possibility. I love to read stories. I love to read about people who've had success. And a lot of times I like to read about the challenges that they had and then the success, because you can see the transformation that happens. And we all go through a transformation. We all have successes. We all have challenges. I like to call things challenges versus failures. A lot of people go, oh gosh, I had a failure. Well, no, let's call it a challenge, because we all go through those challenging times. You know, I was talking to a leader this past week. We were doing a coaching call, and this gentleman was sort of sharing, yeah, this hasn't worked, and this hasn't worked, and this hasn't worked, and this hasn't worked. And I actually, because I was in the middle of reading this guy, I actually shared a couple of nuggets from this book about how many times Scott Hamilton failed at trying to do all of the different jumps and flips and all the things that he does on the ice. Hopefully you guys know who Scott Hamilton is. He was a famous skater, and he won a number of Olympic awards, so he was a fabulous skater. But he didn't start out good. He actually started out really at the bottom. He was one of the worst. He was super tiny, and he had some health issues, and he did not do well. And yet he ends up having major success. And if we stick with it, if we stick with our Shackley business, if we stick with picking up the phone, making the phone calls, if we keep doing the reading, we keep pushing ourselves to learn better, to figure out what we need to tweak, we will grow and we will have the success. It's a matter of sticking with it and keeping our vision alive and keep working at the skill set. We have to constantly skill up. Cash or me. You know, what do you do every day? Do you have any struggles? Do you have things that you have to work on? Absolutely, we all do. There are times when I hang up from a phone call and I go, oh gosh, that didn't go as well as I wanted it to go. I didn't say what I wanted to say, or gosh, I asked a question too quickly, or maybe I talked a little bit more than I should have. We all can improve. There's always room for improvement for all of us, but we have to stay in the game. If you're not making enough phone calls, there won't be the opportunity to figure out what you need to tweak. If you're not showing the plan often enough, you won't know what's working for you and what's not working for you. If you don't figure out how to talk to the other person, the whole reason why we're doing this, Why They Buy Book Club right now, because it's all about the other person. It's all about understanding cues that they have so that you better understand their value system and why they will buy or why they won't buy. And so we can tweak our presentation and say the things that mean something to them. If you're talking to somebody about all of the green things about Shackley, you know, that we're sustainable and we're environmentally sound and we planted 1 million trees, and the person you're talking to, all they want to do is make money, you're going to miss the mark. You are not going to sell them. You won't close the deal. So it's so important that we learn to talk that person's language and talk to the other person. I really think that place right there, the learning how to speak to people, the learning how to develop relationships, that's the place that most of us can improve on. That's the place where we have to learn more, because I can't tell you. You know, we've been talking about Why They Buy for a while now, because we've been doing the book club for a while. Before the book club, we were talking about colors. We were talking about disc profiles, all of the same language, okay? So we were always talking about the other person. And yet so often I get somebody calling me saying, you know, I need to change the presentation. I need to change the way we show the plan, because I want it to have more of X, Y, Z in it. I want it to talk more about this, this, and this. Well, come to find out, the person is trying to design the presentation around what they want to say, not about what their prospect wants to hear. I'm going to just say that one more time, because I think everybody needs to hear this over and over and over again. People are always trying to tweak the presentation because they want to tweak it because they want to say something different. They want to talk about the things that are important to them instead of finding out what's important to their prospect and speaking to the prospect. When you hear Tony Underwood talk about contacting and inviting him, you know, he does it in a very funny way. People get excited and they laugh. There's a lot of fun around it. But what he has learned to do and what he is a master at doing is he's a master at figuring out the other person. He asks questions. He listens. He watches body language if he's in person with the person. And he speaks their language. If the person loves to travel, there's a great connecting point with Tony, because Tony loves to travel. But you know what? If they don't love to travel and they want science and research, he knows when to pull Debbie's conversation in, because Debbie can talk about the science and the research maybe a little bit more than Tony does. But what he learns is, and what we all have to learn and get better at our skill set, is talking to the other person. What does our prospect need to hear? That's really where we can skill up. So yes, we've got to keep our vision alive. We've got to keep adding to our list of names. We've got to make sure our commitment is strong. But the contacting and inviting piece is critical. Because when we contact and invite, we're contacting and inviting people so that we can share Shackley. We can share the full picture. We can share the Shackley plan with these folks. Hopefully, we've listened enough and we know our prospect well enough to know what to show them so that we can easily close them. Now, some people we close on the products because they're just not ready for the business, or the business isn't for them right now. Or we close them on the business and get them started in the business and get them off and running. But really, that segment, the contacting and inviting, showing the plan and closing the deal and getting those people sponsored, that's where we need to have some extra work and some extra skilling up. If you find that as I'm talking here, you're thinking, gosh, I'm not doing enough calls. I'm not showing the plan enough. I'm not sponsoring enough people. Let's have a conversation around that. Let's talk through, what area do you need skilling up on? Where could you use a three-way call? Where could you utilize the tools and the team to help you so that you can have the success? Now, I want to share a Shackley success story with all of you. Once again, I've shared over and over, I read a lot, and so I've got a book here that's called The Greatest Networkers in the World by John Milton Fogg. Some of you have probably read the book. It's an oldie, but a goodie. I mean, he's actually got several of these books, and then, of course, he's got this platinum double book. He's got a whole bunch of them that just talks about success stories. One that I'm talking about right now is a green cover, for those of you who may have it, and it says 21 Ordinary People Who Became Millionaires in Network Marketing and True Stories of How They Did It. And it's not just rags to riches stories, it's real true stories. And so as I walk you through this story, you're not going to hear anything that's going to be out of the ordinary necessarily, but there's going to be some really good nuggets here. This is a story about Carolyn Whiteman. And many of you have heard her name, and especially if you've gone down to Florida meetings, you've seen Carolyn in person. Carolyn is a presidential master in Shackley. She's built a huge organization, and she's really strong on the business. That's something that she's always focused on, and she's always had her eyes set on just building a business, building a team. Yes, she loves the products. Yes, she uses them, but she's been focused on building an organization and building a team. So I'm going to read you the story here. Carolyn Whiteman says she grew up as plain vanilla. I was just basic. I didn't come from a broken family. I certainly did not have a silver spoon in my mouth. I mean, I wore hand-me-down clothes and that sort of thing, but nobody was ever starving. Carolyn was born and raised in and around D.C., The house that they lived in was right across the river in Virginia, and when the trees were trimmed, Carolyn would look out her window on a view of the nation's capital and the Washington Monument. Carolyn remembers her father taking her to an Inauguration Day parade, sitting on his shoulders, looking up at the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, Carolyn seemed to think it was really far off the planet and far away that she could go to college, but she decided to go to college in California. Her parents had said to her, "Don't look at where the college is and whether you can get a scholarship or not. Let's just make the decision, and then we'll figure it out." So Carolyn decided to go to California to get a very expensive liberal arts degree, and somehow it all got figured out. Carolyn loved the idea that where she went to school was near the mountains and near the ocean and had a fabulous city of San Francisco around it. There was such enormous variety and versatility and a sort of open-mindedness that was very energizing. In the middle of her college career, Carolyn made a deal with her parents that if they would give her the tuition for two semesters, she would go live in Italy as long as she could afford to. Of course, that was back in the day where Europe was $5 a day. The first thing that she did when she returned to the States was to take a summer internship back in Washington. From all of her experiences, Carolyn discovered that she had a real curiosity and passion for the political process. Carolyn got married, and she and her husband pioneered the first Peace Corps program in Polynesia. They were there for 3 years, returning to the States in 1969 and ended up in Southern California. And it was time for Carolyn to find work. She had her experience in Washington, her liberal arts degree, and she spoke a Polynesian language, but what else? Nothing had prepared her for anything except getting more education and teaching, and she just couldn't see herself in front of a classroom. But get a job? Working for somebody, commuting in traffic, was definitely not what she wanted to do. Carolyn was home with her family for Thanksgiving, and the dutiful daughter that she was helping her mom with the dishes and the laundry. And her mother kept telling her, don't use very much of this now. It's really concentrated, just a little tiny bit, and it doesn't pollute. In Polynesia, everything was pure and crystal clear. In Southern California, you couldn't breathe the air and you shouldn't drink the water. That contrast was alarming for Carolyn even before the words biodegradable, environmental, and ecology came into people's vocabulary. And true to her Peace Corps roots, Carolyn was looking for a way she could be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. She asked her mom, where do you get this stuff? And her mother said, I don't know. I think it's one of those door-to-door businesses, and you've got to wait until someone knocks on your door. Well, Carolyn lived 400 miles away from her mother's door, so that wasn't very helpful. So Carolyn called the company and asked, where can I buy this stuff? And they connected her with someone who was nearby. A woman came over to Carolyn's house, dropped off a confidential price list saying, and maybe you'd like to be a distributor. Carolyn told her, I'm not interested in selling anything. All I want to do is buy these products. The woman took Carolyn to the home of her sponsors. I had the sense that anyone who did this probably lived in a trailer park, Carolyn says. Probably had a rabid dog, and that was tied to a tree with a chain, and a couple of cars in the yard up on cinder blocks with bald tires. That's honestly what she thought. Who else would be in door-to-door businesses except somebody who's really down and out? These are Carolyn's words. But instead, Carolyn was taken to a lovely home in Beverly Hills, the real Beverly Hills, with movie stars up and down the street. The house was beautiful with a three-car garage that had an apartment above it, where the Japanese housekeeper who helped raise the family's four children lived. Both the husband and the wife were stockbrokers. Their home office was in their oldest son's room. He was off at Harvard Law School. This does not exactly fit the picture I was expecting, Carolyn thought. In this business, we think that you have to be clever and be a really good salesperson, Carolyn says, and you have to have a good presentation and be really persuasive. But their housekeeper spoke very broken English. She offered me a protein drink and a little crystal glass on a silver tray. I told her, no, thank you very much. I just wanted the cleaning products. She looked at me and said, you feel good now. You use this. You feel better. You try. Well, that's how I got in the business, and that was four decades ago. In the beginning, Carolyn used a few products, gave some more away as Christmas presents, but that was pretty much it. Then her sponsors invited her to a meeting. Carolyn didn't want to go, but she did so as a courtesy, all the while wondering, what am I doing here? The man presenting the business talked about what the business was like for him. All Carolyn heard was that he'd gotten a new car. He and his family had just earned some exotic trip to somewhere. He had just made $2,000 in the past month. That got her attention. $2,000 back then was a lot of money to Carolyn. Frankly, he wasn't particularly inspiring, Carolyn remembers. I looked at him and thought, if that guy can do it, I ought to be able to do half that, and it certainly beats working for the phone company. Maybe I should give this a shot. That's how she backed into the business. Carolyn had no idea what she was doing. Her mentors gradually brought her along on their apron strings, she says. But this was 40 years ago. There was no internet, no conference or three-way calling. Long-distance phone calls were too expensive to make during the day, so Carolyn only made calls after 11 at night when the rates went down. Occasionally, someone would record a cassette tape, and she'd share that with people. So Carolyn built her business, sharing stories and through word of mouth. She didn't have a map or a model. People asked her how to do the business, and she'd say, I don't know. Just find something you're enthusiastic or passionate about and tell people. One sale at a time, one new business partner at a time, and over time, Carolyn watched her business ever so slowly growing. The thing I did best, she says, is I didn't quit. Carolyn was never motivated by money. Her purpose in the business was really to connect with people and give them some choices in their lives. She did realize that money may be a big motivator for some people, and since you couldn't make money in her business without having products that would make you healthier and support the planet, and got some of the toxins out of your life, Carolyn's mission was going to be accomplished regardless. And that was what was really important to her, and it still is. Carolyn always makes sure that the objectives people are looking for fit and match what it is that she has to offer. If she has to tweak some things to make it work for them, she can do that. Carolyn stopped trying to fit square pegs into round holes long ago. She's certain that the approach of this is the way to do it, this and this, is a very limiting way to do the business and simply doesn't work. Carolyn focuses on finding the win-win, and even more, she's out to create win-wins. The kinds of people Carolyn finds most attractive and are the most successful are people who see themselves as leaders. Leaders are willing to take responsibility for their behavior and also for their results. Leaders are people who are not blaming someone else or some other circumstance for what it is they do. Leaders are looking for a challenge that allows them to live in integrity with their life and values, and also to be rewarded for that as richly as they choose. Carolyn always looks to see who leads the leaders. It's all about possibilities, Carolyn says. I go back to my old Peace Corps roots. If you're not part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. And there are so many problems out there that anyone can see, whether it has to do with our life or economics or finances or how we deal with our children or health or all of these things. I think that it's easy to get on a bandwagon and go, oh, I don't like this, and oh, I wish that had happened, or go out and take a flag and march down the street for some cause. That by itself does not create solutions. What I love most about network marketing in my business is that I can stay committed to possibilities. Possibilities for financial education, possibilities for being able to live a life with vitality and energy, to actually have something that if people are in a conversation about, oh, I don't feel good or this doesn't work, whatever it is, to know that I actually have a choice I might be able to offer them. And that doesn't mean that Carolyn has the only choice, and it doesn't mean that others have to do it her way. To be able to offer someone the possibility of a solution and not just living in the problem, I find very emancipating for both of us, she says. That provides an inspiration for people. If they like living being unhappy, then God bless them. That's fine. But if they want to do something else, let's keep exploring some ways that network marketing can make that happen. I love reading stories of people who have been successful. As you can see by me reading that story, there was nothing major that was jumping out at the page that you go, oh, that's the magic nugget. That's what I need to do. It's about consistency of effort. It's about staying committed to the vision, and it's about never, ever, ever quitting. Always staying in the game, continuing to build your business so that you can reach the dreams that you have for yourself. But more importantly, as you share Shackley with all of the people that you come in contact with and all the people who are on your team are out there sharing Shackley with all the people that they come in contact with, we truly do change lives. We change lives for the better from a health perspective, but also from a wealth perspective. When people own their life and they have that time freedom and the income freedom to do as they choose to do, it's absolutely powerful. So I'm so excited to have you guys on the call today. I hope that there was something that was shared here that's going to be a nugget that's going to move you and your business forward. Have a fabulous Shackley weekend and a great Shackley day, and we'll talk to you same time, same place next weekend. Goodbye, everybody.